This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Post show. I am Mark Edge here. We're sponsored tonight by Free Talk Live on all up to 200 radio stations Free Talk Live has, and I am delighted to be here once again. And tonight I have with me Henry Raines. Henry, thank you for sitting in with me.
Mark, and
we're doing a show. And we're talking about a guy that has been getting a lot of news recently, RFK Jr. It seems like the mainstream press kind of loves him and hates him at the same time. You know, they want to paint him as a kook, but at the same time, you know,
he's a buff kook.
He is a buff kook.
He's a shredded kook.
He is. He is a man in great shape. I can only envy his physique. And, well, I guess you got a story where he's trapped in a room of farting men, which sounds very much like the kind of story the media wants to write about this guy.
I think you're projecting. Now, you're assuming that if you're in a room with a lot of farting old men, you're trapped. But he chose to be there. It's like you choose to be president. Nobody just, other than in obscure movies like who knows what, where somebody becomes the president, you look like the other president, I forget the name of that movie, and they pull him in to be the president. Or, you know, that's a Hollywood trope, I think they call, where the man on the street becomes president of the U.S. and brings some comedy.
He's the only guy I trust. As far as I'm concerned, anybody who has what it takes to get to the office of president is a person that I do not want there.
You should automatically, if you want to be president, you should automatically be disqualified for being president.
I've heard that too, yeah. I'm in.
It's just levels of narcissism when you look at the stage of the debate with the different candidates. And but we're digressing a little bit, and we are talking about Robert Kennedy Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., if you will.
What does F stand for in this circumstance? Is it also Fitzgerald?
Well, if you had asked me that off the air, I would have an answer for you, Mark.
But, right. I'll look while you go ahead.
Well, okay. But I like RFK. I believe way before he became a media personality, I had heard a story about him, I mean, we're talking decades ago, that when his dad, Robert F. Kennedy Sr., was killed in that, that wherever the reception was after the California presidential primary, and the media, and remember, there were just the three major news networks. We didn't have all these other ways of getting our news. So it's not like a viral moment here where you play it over and over again on your phone. But when you had something that happened on camera, say like Lee Harvey Oswald getting shot by Jack Ruby on live TV, they would play it over and over again. It was their version of viral video back then, where it's just shown and shown. And so they were showing the moments of Robert F. Kennedy Sr. getting shot and them being on the floor as they laid him out, the chaos and commotion of that. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was found in the hotel room just watching those images over and over and over again, just watching the news, because back then they would cut into TV and it would just stay on TV for hours at a time. And whenever somebody finally went around to check and make sure he was okay, who knows how many times he had internalized all those videos. But then he becomes an adult. You know, I think I may have actually interviewed him once, too, and it probably would have been about a vaccine. Probably would have been one of those services that place spokespeople on your radio show. And yeah. I believe it would have been one of his skepticisms about vaccines back when, you know, there was a lot of talk about different childhood vaccines and autism and things like that. And now he has, I guess, ridden his not newfound fame, but resurgent fame from the anti-COVID vaccine appearances and media attention he got. Fast forwarding four decades now, you can be a viral video and never be on network TV. You has this way of finding. So there's a lot, I guess, we can unpack about his candidacy after the fact. But I think Elon Musk has verbalized support for him. And there's, I've even seen today when I was researching this, maybe wishful thinking, maybe there's something that's been pondered or floated as an idea that Donald Trump thinks he's a good vice presidential candidate. There's a lot of...
He has something in common with Trump and something that is liked by the American people. Some of the American people, obviously not all of them. All of the American people do not like Donald Trump. But, you know, what it seems like Americans, some Americans think is they distrust politicians and they want somebody who's an outside the beltway, outsider kind of person, right? And I think RFK fits that.
Who's more outside than a Kennedy?
Right? Well, I'm not saying it's not funny. There's certainly some irony in it. By the way, his middle name is Francis, as was his father's middle name. So anyway, but Trump was kind of an outsider too. I mean, you know, you're talking about somebody who definitely benefited from the system. It's hard to get too outside. But I think that's probably a segment of the population wanted to see that. They didn't want to see the senator of 40 years rise to, you know, by the way, stuff down his competition through what looks like collusion in order to rise to the White House. I think that Biden is considered the insider's insider.
The Biden administration or its campaign staff and all, they are worried about him as just a traditional Democratic challenger to the primary system. I don't think he will hold up well under the scrutiny. Right now, the media likes to build somebody up so they have a horse race.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't think that in the glare of the debates, if there are debates, or the challenging that will come up and the some of his statements that will come forward, that I think the shine will come off a little bit. But right now they are worried about that. They're worried about a lot of things. If they're worried about Cornel West, the professor, that the black civil rights advocate, is worried about him running on the Green Party, they're worried about a lot of things. But let's get to where I think it shows that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was shining a bright light on a hill in a very difficult situation. And this comes to us courtesy of the New York Post, page 6, where all great hard news advocates go and find out what's going on of import. So at a press dinner to boost RFK's presidential campaign, according to page 6, it descended into a foul bout of screaming and not just ordinary farting, Mark, polemic farting. Now, had you
heard polemic farting before? I thought polemic was educational.
I thought it was some kind of verbalization. But I wonder if I can highlight and get
a speech or a piece of writing expressing a strongly critical attack on or controversial opinion about somebody or something.
That is some articulate farting, if you can do it polemically. I have to say, I hadn't had much time to think about that, and it never occurred to me to try that. But anyway, the White House...
I was thinking of the word pedagogic, I think.
I'm sorry, pedagogic what?
I was thinking of the word pedagogic, which was like educational. I have to...
Oh, okay. So educational farting. Well, perhaps.
Right.
Anyway, the affair was at Tony's on the Upper East Side. Have you ever eaten there, Mark?
No.
You even know anything about it? I don't. I'm just wondering, because you get around a lot more than I do.
Fancy restaurants, they're a dime a dozen. You can find one in every town. People can cook good-tasting food. We figured out the secrets of salt, sugar, and fat. You don't need to go pay $200 a meal or whatever to find it. So if you want the world traveler's opinion on expensive meals.
All right. Well, on the other hand, if you want to get a bunch of hungry reporters to come cover you, what better way to do it than offer them an expensive dinner at Tony's on the Upper East Side?
Exactly.
Anyway, a shot of
There are definitely restaurants I would be happier to get a free meal at than ones that I wouldn't.
You are a member of the Fourth Estate.
I don't know whether anybody else in the Fourth Estate considers me to be a real member of the press. Oh. But I do have the big ring of the Freedom of Speech Award, so there you go.
Well, there were two boisterous old men there to start with. And
I imagine the two Muppets.
They probably resembled them. Although, you know, coincidentally, those two puppets have stuff up their anal cavity, too. But I digress again. I've done a lot of that. Anyway, a shouting match over climate change broke out.
Those puppets have Democrats' arms up their butts too.
I think whoever fits up there, it goes up there.
Well, I suspect that the Henson folks just guessing. Performers and their proclivities are probably Democrats. Just a guess.
I think any place that has multimillionaire owners, you got a chance that a Republican appendage is nearby. Anyway, the exchange began after a guest asked Kennedy, who also is the founder of the ecological organization Waterkeeper Alliance, about the environment. It seems the mere inquiry was enough to set off a drunk gossip columnist turned flack, Doug Dechert, the host of the event. Okay, so let me parse that just a bit. The New York Post is calling this columnist, who I'm guessing doesn't work for the New York Post, a drunk gossip columnist.
The
New York Post saying that this is a drunk gossip column.
They don't seem to have a problem.
Pardon me?
The Post doesn't seem to have a problem with a little lambast and belligerence.
No. Well, I would like to hear what Doug Dechert says about the Post, especially after he had a couple knocked a couple down in his opinion. But at this moment in time, he then screamed at the top of his lungs after that question, quote, the climate hoax, unquote.
Uh-oh.
Meanwhile, octogenarian art critic, the Page Six people want you to know, Anthony Hayden Guest, who appeared to have been sleeping happily for most of the dinner, was roused by the abrupt rumpus. You know, we talked about biases early in this program.
Uh-huh.
And I think we may be seeing some here.
I think so. Well, you know, the press, they tend to talk about each other. Tucker Carlson used to do this, too.
He suddenly opened his eyes and denounced his longtime pal, Dechert, calling him, quote, miserable blob, Shut up, implored Hayden Guest.
Of course.
This is a heck of a way for pals to behave to each other. Dietrich then became more enraged, calling it again a hoax. And Hayden Guest alleges that he was not asleep. I was just thinking, he told us. I'm speaking for the Post. And he said he is the one who asked the question about the environment. Dietrich continued to scream wildly about the climate change scam, while Hayden Guest peppered him with verbal volleys, calling him variously effing insane and insignificant, which is how those New York members of the Fourth Estate affectionately talked to each other. Meanwhile, Kennedy, which is who this was about, we weren't talking about sleepy columnists when we started this. We weren't talking about sleepy columnists. We wanted to talk about a possible president of the United States. He watched calmly while all this was going down. And
what else would you do?
Why would you jump into that? Gayden stepped in. We already got that part about the miserable blog. Here it seems, this is where the plot thickens. Dietrich sensed the need for a new rhetorical tack and let rip a loud, prolonged fart while yelling as if to underscore his point, I'm farting. That would be great in a real presidential debate when you want to scoff at your opponent's point they're making to be able to summon the volume, the audio volume of a fart, not necessarily the gaseous volume of a fart, but yet it's so loud that it can be recognized by the boom mics on the stage and then take ownership of it by saying, I am farting.
It is farting for effect is a tricky business. It may not work. It may work way too well. You got to be very careful.
I'll take your word for that. How do you know, like if you're playing pickleball, which is a passion of mine, you practice the same strokes over and over again and get them so you can do them consistently. So when you're trying to perfect your fart, do you have to, you know, you eat a certain food so that you can do it repeatedly, consistently, or do you just summon it up?
I think it's like a box of chocolates. You just never know what you're going to get.
All right. Well, now this is a paragraph that actually surprised me, and not for the reason you might think in a story about farting old men. The room, which we already talked, was a handful of journalists. Also in attendance was RFK Jr.'s campaign manager. Now, do you know who that might be? It caught me a little by surprise.
I'm no expert, no.
It is former congressional representative, and former presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich, who appeared stunned and unsure about what to do in the whole farting controversy that was going on. Dennis Kucinich, any thoughts on that?
It's been a long time since I was in the same room as Dennis Kucinich. I guess the first thing that comes to mind is I wonder if he's still married to his really hot wife. He had this, Jessica Rabbit, beautiful woman who was significantly younger than him when he was campaigning. And I just wonder, I guess.
I have a personal anecdote about Dennis Kucinich that we don't have time for in this segment, but we may.
Well, then we still got to get to it, though.
Yeah, well, we will on the other side, but we have to deal with the crisis at hand.
Well, when you give that anecdote, I'm going to tell you about the time that Ian Freeman gave the now president of the United States the hairy hand.
I gave him a what?
The hairy hand.
All right.
There's your teaser. We'll get into it.
Okay. Well, let's finish this. Because what we want to know is how the next president would handle this crisis. If you can handle a crisis like this, I mean, you could imagine being there with across the table from Putin, and all of a sudden Putin's tooting. What are you going to do?
Nice one.
So, but in this case, the candidate maintained a steady composure in the face of the crisis. Former Page Six reporter Flo Anthony attempted to change the subject at that point, telling Kennedy how much she admired his father, the tragic Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy. And even through that, even through the screams and farts on top of that, it said, Kennedy remained composed. But sadly and inexplicably, another guest brought things back to climate change, leading to another round of yelling. This sad happening was between friends of three decades, D-Shirt and Hayden Guest. When asked to comment after the fact, D-Shirt, who was he the farter?
No, it was the other guy, the farter.
Anyway.
The guy who woke up.
Anyway. I think we've covered this very well. And, anyway.
Well, how did RFK handle it?
He basically waited for it to pass. Waited for the fart to pass and the moment to pass. And then during the rural battle, Hayden Guest told D-Shirt, I am done with you. But there it goes. We have put out there for everyone's perusal how RFK handles a farting crisis. And they can judge for themselves where they're going to take their support of RFK Jr. next. Any thoughts about this?
Well, RFK was at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, where I have been many years. I've spent much time at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And apparently, this is a very big deal, in New Hampshire, at a libertarian event, the largest libertarian event in the world, if you wanted to go see him, you had to be disarmed. And many people are carrying around, I mean, I've seen people carrying around rifles at this event. RFK is the only one who had the pull to get it done.
Well, also, RFK and really any member of the Kennedy family has the right to be a little bit worried about men and or women bearing arms near them.
Indeed.
Yes. Well, I think we've covered that situation. We have an anecdote.
What he doesn't have a right to is to speak at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. That's something they had to give him.
Well, some concerns transcend any location or event. But coming up on the other side of the break, I've got a Dennis Kucinich anecdote for you. We've got to dive into pronouns and much more. Mark, we'll see you on the other side of the break here.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Reports say three police officers were shot in Fargo, North Dakota this afternoon. KFGO is saying the two officers are in critical condition. There's a large police presence at the intersection where the shooting happened. It's not known what led to the shooting or if police have a suspect, but officials say there is no known threat to the public. Millions of Americans from coast to coast, they're feeling scorching temperatures. Today, the National Weather Service issued heat warnings and advisories for more than 90 million people. An appeals court is issuing a brief pause on lower court's ruling limiting the Biden administration's communication with social media companies.
The Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals issued an administrative stay that's in effect until further notice. A separate panel will later consider the DOJ's motion to issue a pause on the ruling as the administration's appeal plays out in court.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim a credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back to the Edgerton Post. It is Mark Edge here. I'm going to call this the Edge and Reins. How about Reins and Edge? Which one do you like, Henry?
I would reserve judgment right now. I like Reinsy Edge or Edgy Reins or... I don't know. How about the Reinsington Post?
we could do one of those Brangela things, like, and call ourselves Reg.
or Henark. And it'll find itself. I think you need to let things evolve and organically progress. You know, almost like a aspirational vegan broadcasting ethos.
Speaking of organic, it looks like Dennis Kucinich found his wife because he's vegan.
Yes, Elizabeth, his wife, that we discussed in the last segment, is still his wife, which caught us both by surprise. They have been married since 2005, I believe. I already closed that window so I wouldn't be distracted by the many images of her. But she is a striking woman, a professor, looks like could easily have made a living as a model, and is the third wife of Dennis Kucinich, but they're still together. And congratulations to them. And they're like a Hallmark movie.
Happy anniversary to you both.
Yes. So I said that I had some actual interaction with Dennis Kucinich. But before we leave the wife topic, I did have reports that this would have been the presidential campaign of 2004, which sounds unusual. So they must have been, I guess if they got married in 2005, I may have to go back and check this again. Anyway, they were quite attached to each other back during that campaign, because I was told by people authorized to tell me, because they didn't swear secrecy to anybody, that at certain campaign events, like not their personal, not at a Kucinich campaign event, but as a, you know, when they all get together for a debate, or it's a enterprise that's putting on a meeting that they come to, that when things were not requiring their immediate attention to the crowd, they would be back in the back of the room canoodling with each other. That's probably the only time I've ever used that word, but it was the only like mild term I could think of for what they might have been doing in the back room. Not the back room, excuse me, the back of the room. There were no witnesses in the back room. This was in the open room with many people. And I got to think that's an endorsement for a campaign that I would think very highly of any presidential candidate that would put that out there for me, being a Dennis Kucinich type person with an Elizabeth Kucinich type person.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Dennis Kucinich is not the tallest man around. And you're right. I think to describe Elizabeth Kucinich as model material is completely appropriate.
Very tall. Tall, slender, very striking. Yeah. And not to be superficial, she's also a professor. She's also quite accomplished in her professional career.
She was excellent at the debate. There was a debate we'll call it a campaign stop that I happened to be at. She and I, Dennis Kucinich wasn't there at that particular one. She can stand on her own two feet. There's no doubt about it. That would have had to have been for the 2008 campaign. I was there, stumping for Ron Paul, because I was not in New Hampshire in 2004. So, together in your timeline.
Dennis Kucinich versus Ron Paul in a debate would have been a very entertaining debate.
Oh, they're friends.
Well, I would think so.
Yeah, they were probably the only two principal people in Congress at the time, and they actually co-sponsored bills together.
Well, the anecdote about Dennis Kucinich, I had a chance both to talk to him on the air prior and then meet him when he was doing a campaign appearance in St. Petersburg at the junior college. And so this would have been late in the 2004 Democratic primary. It was pretty much just down to John Kerry at that point in time. And Dennis Kucinich had not officially dropped out yet. And Bud Beck was the radio show I was participating on. I book his guests, and I usually would be on air one of the 3 hours that he was on every morning. And we were interviewing Dennis Kucinich. I think we had him on more than one time. And I had suggested off the air to Bud Beck, I said, well, you know, he's anti-war in Iraq. You're anti-war in Iraq. Kerry pretty much has this lock anyway as far as the delegates committed. I said, why don't you make an endorsement on principle and for self-interest of Dennis Kucinich? You know, you can go out, you can make the point that you're endorsing him because of the stand on the Iraq war, and you're trying to pull the platform of the Democratic Convention towards the anti-Iraq war stand. And on the other hand, you're not going to get any attention for endorsing John Kerry when he's already won, but people will notice if you endorse Dennis Kucinich. And that turned out to be very right. He announced it to Dennis Kucinich on the air, and that was in Tampa Bay on the morning show. And Dennis Kucinich was just, he didn't know it was coming. He was surprised by it, and you could hear the surprise and gratitude and happiness in his voice. And I had suggested to Bud off the air also that when people say, well, he has no chance, I said, well, I think we can suggest that he's employing the NASCAR strategy. the NASCAR strategy being he's drafting the leader. You know, how in a race with NASCAR, they ride closely behind the leader of the pack, and the draft of the race car pulls the other car along, makes it a little bit easier to go, cuts through the wind, and then you see right at the end, the secondary driver will come around the last turn, accelerate, and you, like a slingshot, the draft will propel them over the finish line in front of the leader. And Bud was like, well, that sounds great. And so we're telling Dennis Kucinich on the air, and Bud even gives me credit. He goes, you know, Henry has this theory about your strategy and how this is going to work out for you. And he proceeded to tell him what I just told you. And Dennis Kucinich, there's this moment of silence, and he goes, yeah. he certainly had not thought of that before, but we brought him to a self-awareness of what his human potential was in this race. And so it was just like the next day or that week that he was going to be in our area in St. Pete. And so Bud and I made the drive up there and let one of his staff people know we're there. So he's addressing the students and teachers in a relatively large room, and not an auditorium, but a big room, a very big classroom. And then we're asked to come back to the back room of the classroom there, and he greets and he says, "Bud, Henry," and he gives us hugs. It's like so happy to see us. This is wonderful. This is almost as good for me as it is for him. And so all my memories of Dennis Kucinich are happy ones. But that was the anecdote. So,
well, I can't say that Dennis Kucinich is my favorite candidate, but I do believe that he believes everything he says, which is the highest honor I can give a politician. I must say that. Well, now I have to pay off on my story about my co-host, Ian Freeman, my longtime co-host, Ian Freeman. You're my co-host now. And him giving what I called the hairy hand. Now, I don't think that this...
Hairy hand?
Yes, the hairy hand. This is what it's called. If you'll recall, back in like the 80s, the whole stick out your hand for a handshake thing. And when the person goes in to give you the handshake, you pull the hand back and run it through your hair.
Oh.
That's the hairy hand.
Yes, I know that.
I'll tell you the whole story now. So we were at the Radio Records Talk Radio Seminar in Washington, D.C., I believe. It could have been in New York. It moved around. And this was the year pushed. And it was on the stage. If you wanted to have the free rubber chicken or the included rubber chicken dinner, right, at lunch, you had to sit through the stage performance. Well, it was one of their new hosts, Rachel Maddow. And I could tell by watching about half of this, this lady was going places. She was good. And she was interviewing the senior senator from Delaware at the time. And, you know, I mean, it's not like he was unheard of. It was Joe Biden, yes. It's not like the guy was unheard of, but he wasn't terribly important at this time frame. I'm going to guess the year at 2005. I'd have to look it up, and I don't know for sure. But for those who know when Air America came, then that's your clue.
Well, he had his chair of the Foreign Relations Committee, and the Senate helped facilitate the resolution to go to war in Iraq. So he did have a little bit of influence.
I'm not saying I didn't know who he was, but I certainly wasn't starstruck.
No.
You know, I just wanted to get my meal and get out. And so, she's doing this sort of interview with him on stage, and they're chairs are both turned 45 degrees so that they're 90 degrees to each other, kind of talking and doing an interview, but they're facing the audience sort of at the same time. And then on the last question, you know, of course, this is all scripted. They've all, they've got the questions in advance. And Joe Biden answers the question. And as he's giving the last final 30 seconds, he, you know, turns his body and his rises from his seat and raises his hands up over his head to the audience. This is a room full of Republican talk show hosts. Raises his hands for the applause as he gives the final word. It's crickets. And then boos. it couldn't have been a worse audience. And then this soulless man runs to the front, to the door where everybody's, you know, now piling out, getting ready to pile out. He gets to the door and he's shaking hands on the way out. Ian and I were at one of the tables closest to the door. We couldn't have cared less about who was talking one way or the other. We think both sides are criminals. But I went through the door first, and Joe Biden, you know, grabbed my hand, shook my arm, and you know, I said, yeah, thanks. And Ian saw that what was coming to him next was that he was going to be accosted by this politician, stuck out his hand for the handshake. Then as Joe Biden went for it, took the bait, he pulls it back, slides it through his hair, and then, you know, all the people behind him uproariously. I mean, that was the long and the short of the joke. I can't imagine why Joe Biden ever took this gig.
What was his handshake like for you?
He grabbed both hands and, like, shook faster than I could shake.
Well, that's... So he had a good, firm, manly handshake.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't not doing that much. I'm sure he's had lots of practice. You know, look you right in the eye, shake your hand, that kind of thing.
How did he react to Ian when he did it?
I believe he went, psh, come on. And then he went back to shaking hands. And you know.
I'm trying to visualize that. I'm trying to visualize how much hair Joe Biden would have had at that time.
He had more. It was a full set of white hair.
Yeah. It's getting pretty thin.
Well, he's the oldest guy to ever hold the office.
See, I thought you were going to tell me that Ian has a hairy hand for some reason.
Well, that's an old story that I'm sure people have heard of, but you know, not that in particular, no. So I was looking yesterday, just because I look at these sorts of things, and I was looking at the poll numbers between Biden and Trump and DeSantis and all these sorts of things, just kind of wondering what was going to happen. You know, polls will give you a picture into what's going on, but you know, you can't be sure. And I was at 538. I'm sure you've heard of this site, and their notorious prediction that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and she did, by the way, get the popular vote. But I was looking at the numbers, and it looks like Trump and DeSantis are separated wider than they have been so far.
Mm-hmm.
That Trump's basically at 50-55%, and that DeSantis is at 20-25% of the Republican likely vote. So I don't know if you're prepared to call it for Trump, but you know, he's certainly in the lead at this moment.
Well, and I definitely
I would take anybody but Biden and anybody but Trump.
Boy. Being a native Floridian and having lived under the last few Republican governors, DeSantis, I have a great aversion to him. I think DeSantis has peaked way too early. He became a darling on Fox News. And there are, without getting into policy issues, which I'd be happy to do if that were what it was called for, but I noticed some of his personality traits that made him an extremely weak candidate very early. And I'll give it from a very practical point of view. We hadn't talked about this, but so for those of you that don't know geographically where I'm located, Manatee County is on the south side of Tampa Bay. And it's ancient history now, but when the vaccines first started coming out, many of you, and we'll put aside whatever you think about the effectiveness of the vaccine or not, there was a great demand for vaccines. And our county commission here is, at the time, was 6-1 Republican. It was basically one-party rule in this county. It's been one-party rule for the last 20 years. And
the course of my life.
And the chair, Vanessa Baugh, she was the chair of the county commission. She had a lot of influence over the bureaucracy of the county. There's 400,000 people in the county. It's a big county government, largest employer, or maybe second to only to the school board. And so the vaccines are being distributed. They were being distributed back then. This, again, was early. It was by a lottery system and also by an age system. So seniors, like over 65, were in the first batch to get it. And then also there was somewhat of a lottery system because there weren't enough to go around. Well, at that time, Governor DeSantis was very pro-vaccine, and especially taking credit for the vaccine. You might remember that Donald Trump took a lot of credit for the vaccine when it started coming out. And DeSantis was having pop-up vaccine distribution centers around the state. And he was going to have one in Manatee County. Now, the one thing I can say for Governor DeSantis is I don't think he knew what was going on behind the scenes with Vanessa Baugh. So the local county commissioner, this is all documented. There was an ethics complaint that played out against her in Tallahassee. Took about a year and a half, but she admitted guilt on this and apologized, et cetera. There's a paper trail, or a digital trail, if you will, with her telling somebody in the emergency management that she wanted the lottery for these people that would receive the vaccine to come from two precincts in her district, which happened to be the wealthiest, whitest districts in the county. And also, she wanted special exemptions for a handful of individuals that were very influential in the Republican Party here and in her support of her election. In other words, she owed them favors. So she wanted her wealthiest districts, her biggest supporting precincts in her district, and her biggest financial supporters to get first dibs on this special allocation of vaccines. So all this played out, and the news of it broke.
The people in the government use their position to reward their friends and punish their enemies.
Well, not only that, but for a life and death matter, at least in the perception of the people involved.
Right.
These vaccines, at the beginning of this, they were viewed as a ticket for life or death. And so it broke. Oh, and she also had her name put on the list, too. She didn't live in the precincts. Well, by the time Governor DeSantis came here, that news had broken. And Vanessa Baugh took her name off the list, but it proceeded. And then at the press access at the event, one of the reporters say, well, what did you think about this, Governor DeSantis? And now just from a practical point of view, from a political point of view, you're in a county that had voted overwhelmingly for you, 60-40%. You're in one of your strongest financial supporting districts and one of your biggest voter supporting districts. And rather than say, I want everybody to get equal access to the vaccines, I have no knowledge of this, we'll look into it. Isn't that a very milquetoast, easy way to deflect that question mark as a member of the press? Isn't that how it would be logically to deflect it?
I almost wouldn't ask the question. because that would be my expected answer.
Well, yes, but the question was asked. That was how he had to answer it.
Yep.
No, he answered it. Well, if there's a problem, we can just take these vaccines elsewhere. Then, just a month or so later, he's down in Lee County, Fort Myers, another equally supportive area of his. He's talking to the people that support him, and they had a problem in that they weren't getting access to the vaccines, not because of any kind of description like I just had, but because just the distribution had not gone into Lee County. So when he's there and he's asked the question, he couldn't say. He couldn't bring himself to say. He's so thin-skinned. He's so sensitive that when he was asked what can be done about this, rather than say, I will have my staff look into this, we want everybody to have access, he said, well, maybe if you don't like it, you should go to another county. That is Governor DeSantis's personality traits, just to name one, that struck me as a person that is not ready for prime time in a presidential campaign.
So you're saying you'd prefer to have Donald Trump?
Well, at least he's got on-the-job training.
He certainly does have on-the-job training. That's that much is true.
We never get to pronouns in this segment.
We can get to pronouns.
Pronouns coming up.
Real quick, I just want to talk about the comparison between favorability and unfavorability in both Trump and Biden.
Very quick.
And these guys are almost neck and neck. You know, at this moment, 538 is calling Trump 56.3% unfavorable and Biden 54.3% unfavorable. So they're within the margin of error on favorability and unfavorability. They're neck and neck.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.